Blog Talk Radio.
A blessing, so we can be a blessing. We got everything we need.
Come on.
Don't forget it, brothers and sisters. God has blessed you. So if you know he blessed you,
come on.
Yes, remember that. This young man seen blessing after blessing. I'm going to play a little.
Because of blessing, help me to bless somebody else.
See, that ought to be our heart. Because you're blessed, you ought to want to help bless somebody else. Go ahead.
Somebody else. Somebody else
yourself out there that's blessed, just begin to open your mouth and thank God for blessing you.
You realize you're blessed, then you ought to want to bless somebody else. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful Jesus. Mass Pastor Bill, if she'll get us going this week with a word of prayer, and we're going to get into the lesson for you.
Good afternoon, everyone, and praise God, and thank you, Pastor, for those selections. Amen. The scripture I'd like to share is coming from Jeremiah 29 and verse 19, I believe it is, but looking at, excuse me, and I'll be reading it from the New Living Translation. It says, "For they refuse to listen to me, though I have spoken to them repeatedly through the prophets I sent, and you who are in exile have not listened either, says the Lord." But I think it was a different one I wanted to read, the verse 11, I'm sorry. Excuse me if my voice is a little raspy. Verse 11, this is the verse I wanted to share with us. My eyes scrolled down too far there. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Amen, amen. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We're thanking you, Father God, for another awesome day. We're thanking you, Father God, for this word that we're about to receive. Father God, we ask that you bless each and every one that is listening, those that are listening by internet, those who have called in, those who will participate today, Father God. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless our pastor. Keep your loving arms around him. Use him mightily, Father God, as he teaches this word today, Father God. And then, Lord, help us to receive the word, Father God, that we will share this word with others. Lord, we ask that you would be with all those that are sick and shut in. We are claiming a healing right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. For you said in your word, by your stripes we are healed. And Father God, be with those who are bereaved, Father God. Touch their hearts. Comfort them. Give them a peace of mind, Father God. Let them know, Father God, that everything is going to be all right. And we know it's going to take followers of Christ to encourage those who are bereaved today, Father God. So we ask that you are blessed right now in the name of Jesus. Be with those that are making decisions in their life, trying to find the right paths to take, Lord Jesus. We ask that you would just guide them, Father God, and help them, Father God, to make the right choices in their life. Follow you. And Lord, we give you praise, and we just can't thank you enough for your word that teaches us and shows us the way. So we ask that you bless our pastor as he teaches, bless us as we receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Listen, brothers and sisters, thank you so much, Pastor. Last week, We were talking about two different things, and one of them I want to just kind of put a cap on it and jump back into the grace of God. The Lord had told me he called us to be ministers of grace. He's calling us to be ministers of grace. But you can't be a minister of grace if you don't know how to call those things to be not as though they were. You have to do that, okay? That's first and foremost. You have to be willing to call those things to be not as though they were. Trying to see what's going on here. You have to be willing to do that. If you're not willing, you won't be able to operate under this grace. But remember God, 1 Peter 5:10, he have all grace, okay? Pride towards says we have true grace. But I just wanted to finish up a little bit on what we were talking about last week, because you're going to have to call people saved that the enemy will say they're not saved. They'll have to confess mm-hmm. what the words say over their life, even when it's not. So it's going to be important that you make this part of your everyday conversation. It's calling those things to be not as though they were. So let me give you some scripture. I may not give you all 30 of them about calling those things to be not as though they were, but I want you to get a feel for what I'm trying to tell you. You have to call those things to be not as though they were. Let's see here. And when you do that, that needs to be now. This is your moment. The time is calling those things to be not as though they were. Not tomorrow, not when things look better, but right now. You've been standing and believing maybe a long time, but if you haven't seen your manifestation, the hard truth is that the promise isn't on God. And I want to say, look at the man in the mirror. It's probably on ours or on yours. So we have all been there. Come on now. We have all been there. Oh, we've asked God for things and wonder why it ain't happened. And it is a fight to get to the other side. I'm the first to tell you it's a fight. It's a challenge. It's a struggle. See, that's why it's called the fight of faith. There are many things you can do to be sure you're perfectly aligned for your blessing. Why don't we have what we desire most? Well, there's three things you have to do when you feel stuck. But one important step you must take is that which Abraham took to move his promise into manifestation. And that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to move what we've been promised into manifestation. You know, it has to be manifest, okay? And that step is calling those things to be not as though they were. So together, start toward victory. So I'm going to give you a few of these scriptures about calling things that be not. You can use to build your faith. Because remember now, we're saved by faith, by grace, but it's through your faith. So speaking and claiming the promises of God in your life every day. So all scriptures should be respected. And know that it's the word of God. In Genesis 15:6, as Pastor, she can read out the Messenger Bible. Let's see. Okay. We got Evangelist William here. Ask her to read out the King James Version. And it's important, brothers and sisters. I want everybody to understand this because next week or by the end of the week, when we start talking about calling to minister of Christ's grace, it's more to this than just saying I'm a Christian. It's more to this than just running up in a building. It's more to this than waving your Bible. It's more to this than God giving us grace. He bears us so we can be a blessing. And not to just, it's not about money. It's about making sure your neighbor have eternal life. You remember, that was one of the commandments, to love your neighbor as yourself. So, you know, once you get this, you should want to be a blessing to somebody else. You should want that person to know what you know and so they can get into eternal life. Now, I know that doesn't agree with modern way of thinking. Cause, boy, I'm going to get all this, and I don't want nobody to defeat me, so I got to get all this truth and keep it to myself. Brothers and sisters, that's not the way grace operates. Grace always want to give. Grace always want to, you wish the best for somebody else. I often think of Paul, how he was always whooshed. And even Peter, remember Peter over there in 2 Peter, I think it was, where he realized that it was a gift and it was to be shared. So you pray that people have God's grace. You pray that people have God's peace. You pray for that, that's what be done. But we're going to share some scriptures with you all that hopefully it's going to call those things to be not as though they were. Because you got family members that need to be saved. You got family members that you should want to have them to have eternal life. Yeah, it ain't about just you getting grace. You have to learn to give grace. That's where the church been short at, teaching people how to truly be a blessing other than just financially, because that's the only thing most people want to get a hold to anyway. It's all about a dollar. And I'm going to tell you, the love of money is the root of all evil. It's the love of that stuff. But money will not buy you eternal life. So you're going to give them something more than money's. You're going to give them something that they can't buy. They can't go to Walmart. They can't go to Target. They can't go to... No. You're going to give them something, bless God, that God gave you. And that was grace.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that next week. But this is what you got to understand first, is you have to be able to call those things to be not as though they were. So in Genesis 15:6, you have that, Evangelist William?
Yes, Pastor. Genesis 15:6, King James Version reads, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Amen, amen.
Amen. In the Message Bible, "And he believed God. God declared him set right, God." Amen.
And in Genesis 17:5, the Bible says that he believed the Lord, meaning he acted on the word of God. So when you find these scriptures like in 1 Peter 4:10, we're supposed to be ministering grace. If you believe that, you're going to act on that. If you don't act on it, you won't believe it. Like Joel 3:10, "Let the weak say they are strong." See, if you don't believe that, you won't do that. The only people going to do that is people who believe what the word of God says. They're going to be willing to confess that. So, you know, you lead somebody to the Lord as far as you're concerned, they say, because of the word of God. Has nothing to do with you. We all know it's by grace. Has nothing to do with us. It's by God's grace. But in Genesis 17:5, I read that.
Genesis 17:5, King James Version read, "Neither shall they name any more be called Abram, but they name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee." Amen.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible, "Your name will no longer be Abe, but Abraham, meaning that I'm making you the father of many nations. I'll make you a father of fathers. I'll make you nations from you. Kings will issue from you." Amen. "I'm establishing my covenant between me and you." Amen.
Amen.
So God is going to let you, as we find Joshua 1:8, God is letting us know today that you're going to be a blessing to so many people. Because just imagine, if you bless 10 people and those 10 people get what's in you, there's 10 other people. That's 100 folks right there. So you're going to be blessing some people, because you're going to be ministering the grace of God, which is a gift, something you receive. See, the only reason Abraham was able to do this and God changed him, because Abraham was getting ready to be a blessing. Look at the multitude that he getting ready to change. And it's the same thing with us. We're going to change some people's life. Brothers and sisters, this is the time that the revelation is being ushered. Well, Well, we'll get into that when we get into the other part. But in Joshua 1 and 8, read that for me, please.
Joshua 1 and 8, King James Version. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Amen.
Amen, amen. And don't for a minute let this book of the Revelation be out of mind. Ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get where you're going. Then you'll succeed. Amen.
And as people reposition themselves into Christ, as people began to stay in the Word day and night, and brothers and sisters, newsflash, because you're going to say, I know I heard that. You're going to hear right here. God already told me. This is the time that the body of Christ is going to experience a holy revelation, a holy revolution. That it's going to bring a revelation for the end time transformation of the body of Christ. That's happening right now. I don't know what news station you watch. I don't know what TV programs you watch. I don't know what books you read. But I'm going to tell you, God is telling me that believers are being established in the Word of God. They're no longer being established in these buildings and in tradition and to organization, but they're being established in the organism. Now, not everybody, just believers, true believers. See, a true believer take the Word of God and go on with it. They don't need all this other stuff. Matter of fact, all they be just like Abraham. They just need God's Word. That's all. And I'm speaking to you. As individual, we need to walk in God's Word, man. Proverbs 4:20-22 said, my son, be attentive to my word. Incline your ears to my saying. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all thy flesh. So you see, the more we be attentive to the word of God, the more this is going to come to a revelation. That's what happened with Mary. Mary started being attentive to the Word of God. The nation started being attentive to the Word of God. So when a virgin had a child, that was the sign that God said, yeah, that was going to happen. Let me tell you what, brothers and sisters. Proverbs 18:21. And I want y'all to hear this. It's not for everybody. It's for believers. In Proverbs 18:21, read that for me, please.
Proverbs 18:21, King James Version. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible, words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Amen.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So you got to start calling those things and be not as though they were.
Yeah.
Those who love it will eat the fruit of it. So if you continue to speak death, that's because you love it. If you don't want to switch over and start speaking life into people. And let me say one other thing. Put a pen there. Remember, you can only reap what you sow. If you don't sow life, how do you expect to reap life? If you don't begin to sow to the Spirit, how do you expect to reap from the Spirit? Well, you think God's going to make a mistake with that? You think he's going to error? You don't think he have angels that's paying attention? You think you're going to be slick and try to pull something over on God? It ain't going to work, brothers and sisters. There's going to come a time where we need to start sowing to the Spirit. And if not now, then when? And if it's not up, then who? This is the generation that has to start sowing to the Spirit. Enough of this already sowing to the flesh, building buildings and building careers and all of this flesh stuff. When will we wake up as the body of Christ and begin to sow to the Spirit? Because if you sow to the Spirit, you can reap everlasting life. That's Bible, brothers and sisters. You want to reap everlasting life? You have to sow to the Spirit. That's the scripture. That ain't me. And you don't have to. Let me be clear. You don't have to. Matter of fact, you don't have to do anything. And you could be stubborn. You can be, proudful. You can be arrogant. You can be all of those things. Say, well, I ain't listening to that preacher. I don't have to do it. I'm not asking you to listen to me. I'm asking you to do what the Word of God says. And that is to sow to the Spirit. Because when you sow to the flesh, you can reap from the flesh. And you're going to reap corruption. So at some point in time, we members of the body of Christ need to and should start sowing to the Spirit. Galatians 6 and 7, 6 and 8. You're going to reap what you sow. So it's no way you're going to be able to tell God, Lord, I planted collards and I end up with tomatoes. No, because God can't do that. God is not Mark. He is not a man that he can lie. He's not that. God is God of all, and there's nothing get past him. Nothing. So there will be no about, well, Lord, or no sly stuff, you know, because sometimes Satan try to be strict with people and try to, you too old, you done forgot, you know, you missing. No. God has a secretary. Trust me. Don't know every hair on your head. He knows you. He knows your address. He knows your thoughts. You don't believe it?
Yeah.
Read Hebrews 4. Well, matter of fact, I'll go there. I'll just show you. And if you're in the Word of God, you can do the same thing. But in Hebrews 4:11-12, 12 and 13. Read Hebrews 4:12-13, please.
Hebrews 4:12-13. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divided as under of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Amen, amen.
Amen. And from the Message Bible, Hebrews 12:13, God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one can resist God's word. Get away from it, no matter what. Amen.
Meditate on that for me. That's why the Bible says, let us labor therefore to enter into his rest. Let any man fall away after the same example of unbelievers. You don't want to do that. You don't want to get into an unbelieving place. God have opened his word up, and you can't hide. That's what he said, for the word of God is quick. It's a living thing. The word, the very word that you read, the very word that you meditate, it's alive. No, not to everybody. Because some of it is just paper. It's just a logo. It doesn't have any validity. It doesn't have any substance. The word in the Greek, there's two words for that. It's rhema and logo, or logos. Logos, or logo, whichever one you want to say, it's the printed word you see on uniforms, like on a name tag. That's a logo, or using it for a company. Sears and Roebuck, they used to put Sears sign on there. There are certain companies that have their logo on their shirt. That's what word is. But then there's another word in the Greek called rhema. Rhema is when you hear it and you act on it. So when Jesus said to Peter during the third watch of the night, which is about between 12 midnight and 3 o'clock in the morning, and Peter said, "Lord, if that be you, bid me to come." And Jesus said, "Come, Peter." Those words was rhema. He acted on it. He jumped out there. So the word of God is alive. It's a living thing. It's rhema. When you hear it, it operates, and it's powerful, and it's sharper. Yeah. It's a living thing, man. Than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now, you can ask any surgeon, any doctor, most folks, and I'll just be honest with you, they think the soul is the spirit and the spirit is the soul. There's a lot of Bible scholars right now still hung up on if there's a difference between the soul and the spirit. Yes. And the only way you're going to find it is in the Word of God over there in 1 Thessalonians 5. See, the Word of God, he said, "I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved to the coming of the Lord." So your spirit is separate than your soul. Your soul is separate than your body. Your spirit wants spiritual things, like the Word of God. That's why folks get happy, because songs are considered to be spiritual. And people get excited because they have a need for that. They had a need for that excitement. That's spiritual. Then your soul is your mind. See, so when God breathed the breath of life, man became a living soul. He could think for his own. He could operate on his own. His mind. Mm-hmm. Well, what that needs is not collard greens. It's not turnips. It's not cabbage. Mm-hmm. It's not black-eyed peas. Your soul, and it don't need a little cornbread either. And your soul, it needs to read. It needs to meditate. That's why Joshua 1:8 says we're to meditate day and night. That's for your mind. Keep it in your mind. That's why you have to cast down every thought that want to exalt itself above the word of God. You got to cast that stuff down, man. God wants your mind to stay clear with the Word of God. Stay on track with the Word of God. How you do that? With your soul, with your mind. See? Now, we all know what the body wants. The body don't want what the spirit wants. I don't care what you say. Your body wants physical stuff. And it starts with a good hamburger, a good cheeseburger, a good, chicken sandwich. Your body can handle that kind of stuff. Your body don't need to read. See, and until you separate that, you won't understand it, because the soul and the spirit can be divided. And to the joints and the marrow, I'm telling you, the joints and marrow are so close. Most folks don't even know there's a big difference between the joints and the marrow. And it's so close that even with a surgeon knife, you may touch a little the other one, trying to get the marrow, and you touch the joint. Well, only the Word of God can separate that. Mm-hmm. And he said, he is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Oh, you may fool me. You may fool Evangelist William. You may try to snowball Pastor. But let me tell you what, you can't get over on the Word of God. You can't see, as long as you're in the Word of God, they got dope on you. Because the Word of God is a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. Man, if you mess around here and stay in that Word, you'll know what somebody's intent is. You know, they're very intent of their heart.
Yeah.
Their thought process.
Say that.
A lot of times, you know what their thought process is. You can walk up to somebody and you already know what their thought process is. And you're going to need that because you're going to need to use the word of God to minister to a lot of people. And you need to know what their thoughts are. Because the world will tell you real quick. Now, I know some of y'all heard this before. I believe evangelist Sharon, she'll tell you. There's a lot of people try to get over on you, man. I guarantee you, Sharon should tell you, people will tell you, oh, you don't know my mind. Oh, yeah. They'll tell you that all the time. You don't know what I'm thinking. Some of y'all probably heard people say that. Well, newsflash, I can know what you're thinking. I can know where your heart is at. How I'm going to do that? With the word of God. Those are things in the Bible, little nuggets in the Bible, that people that's not in the Word of God, they don't even think about that kind of stuff. They don't pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But they're not paying attention to Hebrews 4. Because the Word of God is a living thing, man. And it will help you to discern the thoughts and intent of that person's heart. And then he says, neither is any creature that is not manifest in his sight. So there's nothing that's not, I mean, everything is open. There's nothing you can hide. You might think you're hiding, but you ain't hiding. Because God has a way of letting his people know. And he's going to let them know right through the word. Because the Bible says all things is naked and open unto the eyes of him in whom we have to do. Listen, brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
We're living in Christ. Remember, we have a high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. So when he says, let us hold to our profession, this is what we're about here. This is what we're about. We're about what the Word of God said is.
Yes. Amen.
Why do you think he says, death and life is in the power of the tongue? Why do you think in Mark 11:23, Jesus said, now verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever say to this mountain, how can he make that declaration if he's not paying attention, if he's not looking? If you speak into the mountain and you tell it to be up and throw it into the sea and you don't doubt in his heart, but you believe that those things which you said to come to pass, how God's going to make that right? Because he can see it. He sees everything.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I tell you, whatever thing you ask in prayer, he said, believe that you receive them and you have and you shall have them. See, a lot of times people don't know how to believe that you have received them. Now, you're going to receive it. No, that ain't what he said. He never said believe that you're going to have it. He said believe that you have received. That's past tense. He said, and it will be yours, bless God. Well, it's only yours after you believe that you received it. Not, well, I'm waiting on God to bless me. I'm waiting on God to give me a sign. No, whatever it is you already believed that you received it. So you believe that, you start claiming that. And let's not forget Luke 1:37. For nothing will be impossible with God. Ain't nothing impossible with God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Do you realize how much authority God have given us? Man, if God have given us his son, I mean, what else won't he give us? He won't withhold no blessing from us. I'm going to leave... Now, I'm going to leave one more scripture with you. And because I want you to see what God did for us. In Luke 19:10. Now, I know how people have shared this scripture, but I want you to see it from a different perspective. In Luke 19:10. Because, see, most people, they share this in a way that you can go and become a demon chaser, or you can use the power that's in. But I'm going to share something with you about the scripture this morning. That's Luke 10 and 19. Read that for me, Evangelist
Luke
William.
Luke 19.
10 and 19.
10 and 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Amen.
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 And from the Message Bible. Passage as you walk on snakes and scorpions and protection from every assault of the enemy. No one can put a hand on you. Amen.
See, you need to make this part of your tool. Put this in your tool belt. This need to be part of your repertoire. This is need to be part of your everyday thing. No. And then you need to know that you know that you know that God have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Well, I'm not going to get into the story. At one time, these were some of the most fierce creatures out there, especially at night, because people was afraid of serpents and scorpions because they was killer beasts. He said, but I'm going to give you power over all the enemies. Because, see, these was considered to be enemies. He said, and nothing shall hurt you. Now, listen, brothers and sisters. If you look at this as God is saying to us, look here, I've given you everything. So I will give you the power to be able to speak. And you can speak to that serpent. And it'll obey you.
Yeah.
Speak to the scorpion. You can look right at the scorpion. It can get ready to attack. And you can speak the word. And it has to obey you.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Let me leave y'all with this thought, okay? You know, Abraham was justified by faith. Not by works now. So it ain't so much what you do. It's what you believe. And if it was by words, he would have had something to brag about and boast about. But the scripture said Abraham believed God. And that was counted unto him for righteousness. Why? Because he believed God.
Yes.
So it wasn't by works. So you doing this stuff is not by works. It's all by the gift of God. So when I think of Romans 4:16, that is why it is dependent on faith. In order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all of his offspring, not only to the adherer of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, is the father of us all. That's why I depend on that. That's why you got to depend on that.
Yeah.
Abraham.
Amen.
The kind of faith we need to be operating in. Okay, brothers and sisters, I thank you all so much. We're at the point now somebody have something they want to share. If the Lord tell me I can go on to that call to be ministers of grace, Christ's grace, I'll go, but if not, we'll stay right here. We'll do whatever the word of God tell us to do. But right now, if anybody have any thoughts on the message or any scripture they want to share.
So I'd like to read that passage about Abraham in Romans 4. From the Message Bible, beginning with the 13th verse, has 13 through 15, and it says that famous promise God gave Abraham that he and his children would possess the earth was not given because of something Abraham did or would do, it was based on God's decision to put everything together for him, which Abraham then entered when he believed. If those who get what God gives them only get it by doing every filling out all the right forms properly signed, that eliminates personal trust completely and turns the promise into a ironclad contract. That's not the holy promise. That's a business deal, a contract drawn up by a hard-nosed lawyer and with plenty of fine print. Only make sure that you will never be able to collect. But if there is no contract in the first place, simply a promise, and God's promise at that, you can't break it. Amen.
Amen. So for those that may have missed some, even though I paraphrase or whatever they call it, I'm going to have Evangelist William to read it out the King James Version so everybody have a clear understanding of what Pastor just read. So in Romans 4, read 16 and 17, if you will. Well, as a matter of fact, read 16, 17, and 18, because she covered all of that.
Romans 4, 16, 17, and 18. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end promised. One moment, please. It might be of faith to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him who he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calleth those things which be not as they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall they see thee. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Amen, amen.
Amen.
So, okay, go ahead, Pastor.
Oh, okay. He starts in the 16th. This is why the fulfillment of God's promise depends entirely on trusting God and his way, and then simply embracing him and what he does. God's promise arrives as pure gift. That's the only way everyone can be sure to get in on it. Those who keep the religious tradition and those who have never heard of them. For Abraham is father of us all. He is not our racial father that's reading the story backwards. He is our faith father, called Abraham father, not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Isn't that what we've always read in Scripture? God saying to Abraham, I set you up as father of many peoples. Abraham was first named father, then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do, raise the dead to life with a word and making something out of nothing. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. And so he was made father of a multitude of people, God himself said to him, "You're going to have a big family, Abraham." Amen.
Amen.
You read on. You stopped at the 19th verse. I'm sorry. It says, "And Abraham didn't focus on his own impotency and said, 'It's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child.' Nor did he survey Sarah's decade of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he said." Amen, amen.
Amen. Yeah, I know you were going to make a point, but it is my custom that I make sure everybody understand it from the King James Version, so they'll know pretty much what's being said, so that when we hear extended versions like Messenger Word, whatever else, then it brings it into focus a bit better. So, well, what other point you were going to make there, Pastor?
That we too should put our trust in God and not look at the things that we look at, but trust God, and God will bring it to pass, and we'll be able
Amen.
To understand when it happens. Amen.
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 Well, thank you much. Yeah, see, Abraham believed in God, and he believed him because he knew he was able to make what was dead come alive. I can give you all kind of reasons why he believed. Because, see, he had to believe in hope when there was no hope.
Yeah.
I know. See, we're going to deal with some people. Listen, brother and sister, God's just getting you ready for the ministry. I'm telling you. We're going to deal with some people. You're going to say, "Oh, man, ain't no hope. She ain't gonna change. She has been that way for 50 years. She's going to..." No. See, you can't have that mindset.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Oh, he was a Baptist baby. He was a Baptist boy. He was a Baptist teenager. He was a Baptist boy, and he's going to a Baptist man, and he's going to die Baptist. See, that's the wrong way of looking at this.
Yeah. Amen.
When we're ministering grace to people, you can't look at the fact of who they were. You got to see everything through the eyes of faith. And then you got to be fully persuaded that God is able to make it happen. See, it's going to rest on your shoulders. Yeah. But if you go in there with the wrong attitude, well, you don't know her, Pastor. I'm going to tell you, boy, that's what you know, but you don't know what God knows.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See, because that's what Sarah did. You know, Sarah was laughing at the fact that God was going to let her get pregnant 99 years old. Now, if you can get a scenario greater than this, then come to me. But if you can, just keep your negative comments to yourself, because God is able.
Amen.
Able.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But now I want to ask a question. Yes, are you able? Are you going to believe? Mm-hmm. Are you going to believe against hope, and there's no other way, and you can't see it? Are you going to believe in faith?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Don't believe that
Amen.
When you're weak, you can say you're strong.
Yeah.
God is getting ready. Get us ready, brothers and sisters. God is getting us ready. The Bible says Sarah's womb was dead. The deadness of Sarah's womb. It wasn't just, "Well, I ain't going to get there, but I ain't going there." But the deadness of Sarah's womb, kind of think about what that means. The deadness of Sarah's womb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Abraham, he didn't stagger at that, at the promises
Amen.
Of God. God that promised him, he didn't care if she didn't have a womb. Because the deadness of her womb was just like she didn't have one. For those that might still be in question about what I'm saying. It's when the weak have to say they're strong. Now, God let that happen. Now, there's probably some people right now listening to me that say, well, Pastor, you just read. No, go back and read it for yourself. But Abraham didn't let that sway him one way or the other. He was fully persuaded that if God promised you something, it's going to happen, brothers and sisters. Especially if it's tied to your heart. There are some people that you may have brothers, sisters, mama, cousins, or you may just meet somebody. You may have your bestie. You want that bestie to get saved. You want them to come into the light. Maybe you want them to come into the light because you already know where they're at. You've been there, done that. And God wants you to minister to that person. But if you'll step out, you watch what God does, man. You watch how he works. Amen. See, your little finite mind only can think of what you can think. But your mind got to be bigger than God to say it won't happen. And I know your mind ain't that big. It don't cover that much territory.
Amen.
And the girl said, he got the whole world in his hand. He got the whole wide world in his hand. See, he got everything. You ain't got the whole world in your hand. So he sees it all. He knows it all.
Hallelujah.
Share up that path. How God going to take this deadness of this womb here at 99? It's just like she don't even have one. But by faith, everything in her came alive.
Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
It came alive. Now, you may not see that like that because you can't look through the eyes of faith, but if you look through the eyes of faith, you'll see it. It won't be ridiculous to you. It won't. Well, it ain't sense, so it ain't supposed to make sense. So don't expect for it to make sense. It's not sense. It's faith. And you have to see it with the eyes, okay? But anybody else?
Yeah.
I could.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay.
That's beautiful.
Okay.
Amen.
Well, I appreciate you guys.
Right.
Hey, we'll get into it tomorrow because we got to get ready, brothers and sisters. It's time to get ready right now. And then make a list. Write the vision down. Write it down.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people in your family, in your life, they need Hey, man, they need to have their eternal life. And you may be the one that's holding the key. You may get them to read their word. You may get them to start studying the word of God. You may shock them. Oh, that's in there? Yeah. And that may start them on the trail of getting in the word of God. I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. God getting you ready so you can get somebody else ready. God blessing you so you can be a blessing to somebody else.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yeah, multitude. You ain't seen it yet. I know you heard it here first. Meanwhile, stay blessed.